Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And you guys have been waiting for a Screen Verdict podcast. And we thought, you know, there's some small podcasts we could do. But what's the point when one of the biggest podcasts of the year is waiting for us? Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. This is what you've been waiting for. I've been going nuts waiting to watch Mockingjay. How excited were you for Mockingjay Part 2, Matt?
I love my Hunger Games, I love my Katniss Everdeen, and I was so pumped to see her take on the Capitol.
Oh, man. So, we're going to hit you with the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Sorry. I feel like we haven't had a spoiler alert in a while, and I didn't know, I forgot what we did.
This is a staple of the podcast for the last 4 years.
Do we want to give it off again?
People love a good spoiler alert. All right, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler alert!
We are now going to spoil the movie. We're going to break down it play by play in the Hunger Games. It's so exciting. Our analysis of the Hunger Games is probably second to none.
No one has ever said to me that someone else has done a better review of the Hunger Games, because it's just not possible. We're going to hit you with one right now, starting off with Katniss.
What I was going to say, Jonathan, is what is the state of play for Katniss at the end of Mockingjay Part 1 heading into this movie?
All right, see, this is a bit of a tough one for me, because you have Team Gale and Team Peter, and I've been quite firmly in the camp of Team Peter. Didn't really help that he tried to murder Katniss at the end of the last film.
Lost points.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm an expert in romance, but I feel like murder generally works against your interests.
I'm firmly against domestic violence.
Yeah. So, Peter starts in a bit of a hole. Katniss struggling to talk, but, you know, to be honest, I thought that would be fairly short-lived. That would be a little bit of... Not sure how enjoyable that would be for the viewers. There was 2 hours and 17 minutes of Katniss. Katniss
F-13. Yeah, I'm glad they got through that. And, yeah, like, here's the thing that I view with the Peter Gale conflict or love triangle. And this is sort of how I charted it throughout the series. And I feel like you're on a very similar page to me, Jonathan. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Will do.
First movie, Gale, non-entity. Had no strong opinion on Gale at all. Peter was pretty down on. I liked it that he gave her a bit of flower, like in a sort of flashback scene. That was a kind thing for him to do. But I don't have much respect for the Hunger Games strategy of painting yourself to look like a rock and lying on the ground. He had a bit of a sort of self-defeatist attitude of sort of like, I'm going to lose anyway. I might as well help Katniss out. Second movie, huge turnaround for Peter. Like, he really stepped up. He was prepared to put his life on the line for Katniss, but in a lot more of a proactive way of, no, I can do this and I'm going to do it for her, rather than sort of, oh, well, I guess I'm going to lose, might as well help out someone I like. And he really stepped up. He been complaining about the arranged marriage situation. That seemed to be working out pretty well for him, but I really liked how Peter stepped up in that second movie. Gale, again, bit of a non-entity. Not loving the Gale. Third movie, Peter was like a prisoner, so didn't really, like, you know, he was a bit brainwashed, sort of lost a bit of points, like sort of go, oh, was it too much baggage for Katniss to deal with? Not sure. But Gale was definitely douche alert on high for Gale. That's where Gale really, really showed his colours. A lot of the things he was saying seemed fueled by jealousy. Seemed really, really douchey. So definitely down on Gale. And Peter, I was left a bit like, is he worth it? So I was sort of thinking, I'm team Peter for sure, but maybe he's better off without either. Was that a fair summary of the movie series?
It's funny because if you're in Gale's position, you know, you've been friends with Katniss for a long time. You know, I don't know exactly what their relationship was, but they were very close. They were kind of together. Then she goes off, all of a sudden gets into these adventures in the Hunger Games that brings her closer together with Peter. And he just kind of has to stay at home, look after her family, doing the good guy thing, not doing anything wrong there. Then he gets involved in these missions and things. You know, Peter's at the Capitol. He goes to try rescue him in what is a very selfless and heroic thing to do, you know, go rescue someone that you're actually competing against, you know, for the love of your life with. And yet it comes across as so petty and planned and vindictive and douchey. It's like, oh yeah, well, you like this guy? Well, I'm going to go save the day. I'm going to rescue him. And then I'll be the big man, and he'll have to have been rescued by me, so then I'm the good guy.
Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah, I agree. And look, you can say it was a bad hand dealt to Gale, but he could have stepped in and taken Peter's place in the Hunger Games. So in movie one, he could have been in the Peter spot. Because Katniss wasn't drawn out of the hat, or whatever they, however they determined that. Like, Katniss stepped in for her sister. Gale at that point could have gone, right, I'm going to step in for Peter, save the love of my life. Put my life on the line for her.
Well, those two actually get to talking a little bit later in that film, so maybe that'll come up again. But, yeah, tough spot for Gale and Peter. Seems to have been brainwashed. He's tried to strangle Katniss. They now have him restrained. And, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the plan is. Just, you know, I guess try and re-assimilate him back into their way of thinking. You know, we're not gonna introduce him to Katniss right away. We're gonna start off with Katniss Light. All right, we're just gonna send a sister in and see how he reacts to that.
Yes. Not seemed well. Like the sister, but was still a bit anti-Katniss.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you don't like dark beer, start with a light beer. If you don't like light beer, you know, just keep trying again. I think that was their approach to get him to like Katniss again.
So, there you go. Peter... and there's a bit of, sort of, I guess, scenes where they're trying to turn him around and stuff, and it's pretty interesting.
So what's first for Katniss? What's the mission? What's the plan?
Okay. It seems like the sights are on the Capitol. The sights are on Donnie Sutherland, Mr. Snow, the snowman. And I don't think anyone calls him the snowman in the film, but I think I might. So... their target's him, but they've got to try to take District 2 first, it seems. Let's take District 2, and then all that's left is the Capitol. All that's left is District 1, and they decide, let's send Katniss, and we'll shoot a nice little video that will go viral.
Yeah, the propaganda machine, very, very topical, very relevant. I see what you're doing there, Hunger Games. So they go, and I guess there's a, the ethics. These are the bad guys, but maybe there's just some regular civilians hanging out with the bad guys. Can we just, you know, bomb the whole area in general with drones? You know, is that acceptable? Is this wartime? Is it even acceptable in wartime? So I guess they compromise. They try and bomb the hill or whatever it is that they're hiding under, but leave one of the exits open so that if people decide to flee, they can. And they meet the fleers, and Katniss is supposed to do this big speech, but
she tosses the script. She tosses not interested.
Katniss, very wisely, goes to the aid of someone that's shot out, and he's like, no! He didn't have a gun. Why are you shooting at him? He's unarmed. Hands up, don't shoot. but in this case, he did have a gun. He kind of takes her hostage, and, you know, this is the sort of, you know, the talk you down from the ledge scene, except the ledge is not shooting me in the face.
She tells her to do it. She, like, goes really... She's ballsy, Katniss.
I felt like... You see that a lot in movies, you know, someone pulls a gun on you and you're like, do it, do it. And that's usually where, you know the person and you have a history with the person and, you know, the emotion and the weight behind your backstory is going to overcome whatever issue you're currently facing, which has caused you to pull the gun in the first place. This is just some random guy that seemingly hates Katniss. So that was a real ballsy move. Luckily, she's able to back that up with, you know, go on, do it, because I'm tired. I'm tired of all the nonsense of the fighting. We're just pawns in a game. Do you want to be the pawn in Snow's game? Which I think was a good line. She might have taken a little long to get there. Like, if she just sort of started out with the dare, at which point he might have accepted the dare and shot her in the face.
I think where this is... quite clever, and why we see it trotted out in movies quite a bit, is because she's the enemy. You want to kill her, but you also don't want to do what they're telling you to do, because you're like, well, they're the enemy. Like, she's telling me to shoot her, maybe that's a bad thing. So you go, well, gotta hear this, because I'm now confused. Because I thought she didn't want me to shoot her, but now she's telling me to. So now I don't know what the best play is.
How far does that go, though? You know, like, it's 1945, you know, you're storming through Germany, you break into Hitler's bunker, you put a gun to his face, and Hitler's like, go on, do it, or do you want to take an order from Hitler?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, it's interesting that, like, 10 minutes of the podcast we've compared Katniss to Hitler. Yeah, I don't know how far you go with that. I think, it's confusing, though. You're like, wait, am I playing into Katniss's plan? Like, is this a bad thing? What am I meant to do? This guy is just some civilian guy. He's not, like, you know, just meant to be able to make great military, strategic Hunger Games decisions. So I think it's a really cool move. It's almost like, if there's a friend you don't, or not a friend, but like someone you don't like, and they sort of offered to pay, and you sort of go, ooh, is this giving them some leverage? Is this, are they going to hold this over me? Is this going to come back to bite me, sort of thing?
Well, it turns out that she picked the right guy to get taken hostage by, because she does her big, big spiel, and it turns into this speech, which is going quite well. But then some other guy's like, nah, had enough of this. Bang, bang, bang. It was lucky that she didn't let that guy take hostage of her, else he would have shot her in the face.
Yeah, she got lucky. And I think this would have made a great viral video. Like, I think, the last film, was incredibly impressed with Katniss's instincts and being able to just naturally do stuff that would create good viral videos. And the real wisdom not to listen to the powers that be, the Julia Moores, the Philip Seymour Hoffmans, because they really were overmanaging it and really didn't seem to get how viral campaigns work best.
Yeah, well, perhaps a little bit of luck went her way this time, because even more so because she was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Why did anyone think she was dead?
Look, what?
Are they going to send, like, this key asset into, like, a war zone with a T-shirt? Like, soldiers today in non-futuristic Hunger Games settings where there's no soldier that's as valuable as Katniss, they're all wearing bulletproof outfits. Like, this is not some bizarre, where do they think of that one? Like, this is just standard practice for people in war zones.
The funniest part about this was Snow sees the video and he knows she is not dead.
Yeah.
You know, a general, some sort of guy says, oh, we're toasting the death of Katniss Everdeen. It's like, oh, no, we're not, you fool. Haha, I poisoned you because of your foolishness.
Yeah.
But then, and I'm skipping forward a little bit here, we'll come back. But an hour later into the film, we see the guys run into a building, and then they shoot a rocket at the building, and they declare that Katniss is dead. And then later on, he's like, oh, turns out she wasn't dead after all. It's like, how were you so savvy to realize that when she got shot in the chest 4 times, she wasn't actually dead? But a picture from the outside of a building in which you can't even see anyone, and a rocket goes off, you go, well, that must have killed her. I'm convinced.
Yeah, yeah. You're not even entertaining the possibility. Yeah, no, I think that's a very...
What is she, Roadrunner? There's no way she could do it twice.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway... So, she gets back to District 2. She's not dead. She's been shot. And Julianne Moore... What's her name? Queen?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Queen says to her, who's sort of the new... The person running there, the rebellion, the resistance. Queen gets up there, and she sort of says to Katniss, thanks for all your work. We're going to take the capital now. We're right. Don't you worry. You just have a nap now. Just see the rest of this movie out.
Yeah. Doesn't take. Katniss decides to sneak onto a plane, some sort of, I guess they're sending supplies over back to the front line, and makes her way back there, at which point Coyne and Philip Seymour Hoffman's character are, okay, well, now that this is part of the plan. If anybody asks, this was always our intention.
We don't know why we can't control things. Like, we're just, like, at the mercy of Katniss and whatever she wants to do. Yeah.
I really hope that she just doesn't do anything that we can't claim.
Yeah, yes.
Or don't want to claim.
Yes.
So she's back, but they do put some limitations on it. They say, it sounded like, you know, they go, oh, this is the sniper, these are the two badass twins, this guy's good with technology, probably, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is sort of like the Avengers, or like getting the A-team together, and they said, yeah, we've got you together for a fake movie, yep, we're gonna just shoot some more propaganda, not actually... helping in any way. All right, guys, let's set up for scene one.
They did say it was very important because they could pick up some supporters along the way. Like, you know, it was sort of always like, okay, the real soldiers, they'll go in and like beat all the villains and start marching the capital. You guys come along and then say, hey, look, it's the celebrity team, like, of Katniss and friends. You want to be on this team. Look how nice they all are. But they didn't really come across anyone. So I don't really know how that played out.
Yeah, I was going to ask, were you in support of this? Would you, if you were in the, had the, you were the general or whatever, would you rather have Katniss actually fighting, or would you prefer to protect her and have her do these propaganda videos?
Okay, let's assume I'm in the best, like, I've got the best interest of the people at mind. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't have some hidden agenda. And I just want what's best for the resistance. I think you're going as the capital. I think you go big or go home. Let's put our key... Like, that makes... The fact that you're not protecting, not giving anyone special treatment, and you're actually putting Katniss in the firing line, which she's happy to do, I'd say that's sort of, like, really a different play than what Snow and his team's doing. Where they do just protect them. So I think the best thing is to show that Katniss, even though she's the celebrity, she's the darling, she's their key asset, is not above anyone else, I think is quite a powerful message. And yeah, you get the video cameras, you shoot your videos, but you just film what Katniss is doing. You don't stage manage Katniss. Because I think that's the kind of thing Snow would do, and you don't want to do... You don't want to play Snow's game. You want to play your own game.
I
do you agree?
I sort of understand the point of the videos, but I mean, this is futuristic. I mean, surely she could actually, you know, do some real fighting, and they have like a little GoPro tucked into her pocket or something, you know, because what they were actually filming was clearly produced. I mean, they were saying, all right, step here, move here. All right, hold it back. We'll get a close up of you pulling the bow back. In what real life situation, if it's happening in real time, do you have time to go, okay, we have the over-the-shoulder shot, now we're going to go for a close-up on the drawback of the bow, and then we're going to watch the arrow as it goes through and triggers the explosion. You're going to go, hang on a second.
Yeah.
How could they have shot that in real time?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they need to just send Katniss on the front line and just film to the best of their ability what she's doing and what's happening. Like, I think you do, you still make the videos, but I just think anything stage managed or overproduced, and anything that seems like propaganda and it is just not going to help the narrative you're trying to sell, that we're a different kind of leadership, where we do things differently.
That would have been a pretty funny end to the film. Katniss never even makes it to the Capitol. There's no confrontation with Snow or anyone else. Just the propaganda videos go viral. They just recruit so many people, the propaganda videos are an overwhelming success, and the support gathered by them overtakes the Capitol and wins the day.
Yeah. So I think that these propaganda videos were not very well thought through, and it's almost like, yeah, people want, when you're going against the establishment, you need to not seem like you're an establishment of your own. And by overproducing, by planning everything to the nth degree, you look like you're establishment. It looks like you've gotten 20 advisors in to sit around a table and say what the best thing to do is rather than actually do what is right.
This is... I started to agree with you, but after a while it sounded eerily like Donald Trump. I'm not a part of the establishment. I want to separate myself from the establishment. I don't think before I speak. I'm not, you know, I don't waste time with political correctness. I get things done. I'm going to make America great again.
Yes. Well, I think the difference between a Donald Trump and a Katniss Everdeen is that Katniss has some good ideas and actually, I feel like Donald Trump, the sort of authenticity is nice, but maybe the ideas could use a little bit of work.
All right. For all the Katniss fans out there, so far we've compared it to Hitler and Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. Oh, anyway. But we love Katniss.
We're rooting for Katniss, and I think this is where the film really sort of picked up the pace in terms of the action, because they're getting through these booby traps that are referred to as pods, and these landmines or something goes off, Remy from House of Cards goes down, then all of a sudden this kind of...
Peter gets in the mix. They bring Peter in on the team.
Oh, yeah, Peter's in on the team, and they're in this kind of, like, looks like... kind of like, I don't know, it's like a circular coliseum almost looking type thing. It starts filling up with, what is it, oil?
I think it's oil.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get flooded. Luckily, they're all running together as a team until Peter tries to grab Katniss and throw her into the oil.
Yeah.
Luckily,
not
some...
a huge shock.
Luckily, some meaningless side character ends up getting thrown into the oil.
Yeah. Yes.
But I did like that. That was pretty. That was pretty exciting. They managed to escape mostly.
Do you agree with having Peter on the team?
Man, this propaganda is risky. You know, they Peter liability has tried to murder Katniss already, but they say, look, we need to look unified. You know, the band's got to be together. Put Peter in these propaganda videos.
Give him a gun that isn't loaded and get him ready to go, oh, they've turned Peter around. That was so much quicker than it took Snow to turn Peter around the other way.
They get into a fight and everyone's just like, why isn't Peter shooting that gun? Why is it...
Yeah.
Did he just hit that dude? Shoot him, you idiot.
Yeah. Why is Peter using the gun as a, like, to hit people with? Why doesn't he know that it's a gun, right? What, not a club?
What sort of army is this? Did they not explain what that was?
Yeah. It's a gun, Peter. It's a gun. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So, anyway, Remy has sort of, from House of Cards, seems a bit like the wise guy on the team. Oh, sorry, not like a troublesome wise guy, but a man with wisdom. And he seems to have picked up some stuff from Queen that he's passed along to Katniss.
Yeah, I think he knows that Katniss maybe has, you know, her own plans, and he believes in her. So, as things go awry, he decides to pass over, I guess, whatever the security clearance is for the pod detecting thingy, hands it over to Katniss. So when the second in command lady's like, "All right, time to give me the pod thingy," it's like, "Well, actually, Remy gave it to me." And they have a bit of a Mexican standoff until she's like, "All right, just remembered you're the lead in the film. You can have the pod thingy."
Yeah, yeah. And it was great how Katniss sort of, she comes up with her and, "Actually, Queen told me the real mission was for us to go and kill Snow." Surprise! The propaganda thing was a fake plan.
Yes, it was meant to be a secret, even from you, unless Remy died, in which case you were allowed to be in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So... anyway, so they were going to the capital, and Remy has sort of flagged that he's not sure if Queen's got Katniss's best interest at heart. And Remy sort of flags that Queen may not have Katniss's best interest at heart.
Yeah, I don't know what he knows, or he just has a sense of, you know, maybe even if this is successful, whether we can trust Coin. Katniss seems to be the person. He's put all his stock in Katniss, which is a pretty good move. She's proved to be pretty resilient so far. She survived 2 Hunger Games. And she has a plan to get to the capital. And I guess I can't remember his name, but they utilize the guy that can't talk, because apparently he knows a way to get through the sewers, because as they get flooded by the people... the soldiers from the capital, they make their way underground, and things get scary, man. This scene was probably scarier than anything I've seen in The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Did you jump? I jumped.
The girls of the movie was jumped. I sort of, like, they had that scary music, like something was about to happen, like sort of like they're probably using The Walking Dead or whatever. And I sort of think, "Oh, something's happening." Then nothing happened, and then it went to silence. And I thought, "Oh man, something is definitely gonna happen now." Like, and then I sort of thought, "Well, so silence, so someone's gonna get." I sort of thought when they get to the last person going through the test, so I sort of had picked up what would be happening. It was still done in a bit of a, like, at the same time, but I was sort of, when it was so silent and the score just cut, I thought, "Oh yeah, yeah, someone's jumping out at some point."
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen, and just the way they had built it up in terms of the tension, I was like, I know someone's about to get got, and it's going to make me jump. I'm going to place my tongue on the roof of my mouth so I don't accidentally bite it.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm about to get startled. And man, those guys were freaky. And it wasn't just one of them. That was a pretty epic fight. That was probably better than any of the zombie fights. Not that they're zombies, but they're like a little bit zombie-esque. Better than anything I've seen in The Walking Dead. That was badass.
What were they called again?
Were they mutts?
Mutts or something? Anyway, the snowman spared no expense on mutts when he heard Katniss was alive.
Oh, I think we lost a few guys, probably the most notable of which was Finnick. Is that his name?
Yeah. You knew he was dying, though, right? When they had the nice wedding scene.
Yeah.
They got the nice wedding and it's like the one happiness, and you go, well, as soon as he was on the team, you're like, boy, he's not coming back.
They're like, oh, no, they've built up too much of an emotional investment in me. I'd much prefer, like, the wedding was a complete disaster and I needed some sort of redemption. I'd be much more likely to survive then.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, but they make it out and they go to hide out with some tiger lady.
Were we meant to know who she was?
I don't know. That didn't ring any bells for me.
That's the problem with these movie series, that it's like you watch it, like, it's once a year. Like, the first Hunger Games we watched together was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I feel like I would have remembered a tiger lady, right?
I don't know. There's so much happening in those games with the people making the costumes. And, like, she could have been making someone's costume in that first movie, right? And I wouldn't have remembered her. I think there's a lot of sort of weird sort of type of things or colours and stuff in that District 1 in the first two movies.
So here's what I thought was going to happen, because their pictures are posted all over the place. People are looking for them, you know, they're wanted. And this lady looks like a tiger. So I thought, oh, this lady's going to do some sort of costume or makeup or disguise. No, they just go out in a hoodie.
Yeah, and not a big hoodie either. I think you don't want to cover up Jennifer Lawrence's face too much in a Jennifer Lawrence. I think that was probably the ring. Oh, we've got to backtrack. We forgot something huge. We forgot something huge.
Yeah, go ahead, take us back.
Katniss and Peter kiss.
Katniss and Peter kiss.
Yeah. When they're running through the train station and those things are blowing up and there's guards chasing them and things.
Was this a more passionate kiss than Katniss and Gale earlier in the film?
Yes.
Again, Gale sort of doing the good guy thing. You know, she kisses him and he says, do you even know what's going on in your head? She says, no. And he says, well, that's like kissing someone if they're drunk. It doesn't count.
I had a question on the back of that comment, if I was Katniss, that I would have asked.
How many drunk girls have you kissed?
Yes, I was going, how many drunk girls have you been kissing? I thought he was fairly, like, monogamous with Katniss.
It's like, I mean, I do it, but when I get home, I just don't add it to the scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was actually not a great comment for Gale.
he's like, or so I've heard.
Yeah, yes. How I'd imagine it would be kissing a drunk girl.
Yes. So, yeah.
I heard through with Peter. It may have been to, like, snap him into wanting to stay alive, maybe. I'm trying to remember. But I just remember Gale was right there, and I was thinking, boy, he's going to be pissed.
The funny thing about that, clearly Katniss didn't feel the same way as Gale did about that issue, because this followed a conversation with Peter explaining how he wasn't able to differentiate what was real or not real anymore. And then she goes dead and proceeds to kiss the mentally or like figuratively drunk Peter anyway.
Yeah. I when she kissed Peter, I was a bit like, I jumped a bit more with that than the zombie thing. So, and Gale's right there.
And Gale's just like points his head around. No, that doesn't count either.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. But yeah, they chat together. And I think Gale and Peter have a good chat. She points to both of them here, where, like, Gale's like, well, you know, it's unlikely all three of us are going to come back alive, so it's not really going to be an issue anymore.
I was like, he's like, there's no need to compete. Katniss is just going to choose who she wants to be with. Odds are only one of us survives, so even less reason to compete. Easy decision for Katniss there. I liked how he said, oh, I should have volunteered. Like you suggested, he said, I should have volunteered for the Hunger Games.
Mm, yeah, he does. And I think I love the comment of, because let's say I'm with another guy and we both like the same girl. I reckon if they say to me, look, there's no point in competing, she's going to pick who she wants anyway, my cogs are turning going, oh, great, I'm the only one who's going to be competing here. He's going to let his guards out now. I can now send her the nice flowers and things. Definitely got an edge here.
And Peter was definitely playing along. He's like, no, you stayed home for the family. That was much more important. I'm sure that did much more to win Katniss's affections than all the adventures we went through in the Hunger Games together.
Yeah. Because they were real, and just the idea that they were able to turn the Hunger Games on its head. Like, there'd never been two winners before. They really were innovators of the Hunger Games. They created something together, you could even say.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are in their little hoodies, walking along to try to sneak into the Capitol, because Snow has invited all refugees to come to his house. It's a somewhat nice move of Snow's.
He must have a rather nice estate.
Yeah, this was definitely Snow's nicest movie. And also, was it, like, we went from the last movie, how, like, in control the Capitol was of everything, and how hard it was for this resistance. It almost seems like we started this movie, and there was never a question that Snow was fighting a losing battle.
It did just seem like, okay, we went to District 2, bombed it a bit, and now all we have to do is march to the Capitol, I guess, with some support of other people. I mean, I guess they did show some scenes of rallying support, but it didn't seem like they met as much resistance from the Capitol as you would expect based on the uphill battle talk from the previous films.
Yeah, it seemed like the movie started with the Capitol in a completely weakened state, and the question was more, how many casualties will we absorb on the way to taking Snow's house?
Hmm.
But anyway, that was my point. So they're walking along, and then, oh no, the guards at the gates are checking under everyone, just looking at everyone's face before letting them into the Capitol. Probably with these five massive wanted posters stuck all over the Capitol, that wasn't a huge surprise to me, that they'd be just checking people on the way in. It's not like they're unaware that there are five fugitives on the loose.
Yeah, again, topical, letting refugees in.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do it? What's the screening process? As long as you're not a former winner of the Hunger Games, gone rogue. It seemed like that was really the only stipulation of getting into the estate. And then just as it looks like she might be discovered, all hell breaks loose. There's tanks and there's missiles and there's gunfire, and it's, do you think this is the perfect distraction? This is going to enable Katniss to make the run, somehow sneak in, hop a fence, and get into that one-on-one confrontation with Snow that we've been waiting for the last four movies. That's not exactly how it panned out. What went wrong?
Well, I guess the Resistance come in, they sort of startle everyone, it just becomes mass panic. And then one of the planes for, I guess, Snow the Capital planes or something flies overhead and drops some food or little sponsorship packages from the Hunger Games down on everyone, and everyone, all the refugees and stuff start looking at going, oh, finally, we're going to get some Mundo. What do they get in those things? Like little peanut butter things or whatever. And anyway, then they explode when they drop. They're actually bombs. It's a trap. Snow has bombed all the refugees and Katniss's sister, who's rocked up as a nurse to help people that are hurt. Was that a good description?
Well, here's the thing. I think they left it a little bit ambiguous, but I don't know, maybe it was more clear in the book, but I don't think it was Snow. I think it was Coin.
Oh, yeah, it was Coin, but I think you were meant to think it was Snow at that point.
Yeah. So, because Katniss had this discussion with Gale earlier, you know, were civilian casualties acceptable in order to win the war? And I guess in order to take out those remaining guards and the defences at the fences, they dropped these bombs that included killing their own people, including Katniss's sister!
And what is that? The whole point of Katniss going in the Hunger Games was to save her sister. So we spent 4 movies just to get to her sister dying anyway.
Oh, no.
That's what I was a bit annoyed about, her sister dying. I thought she was someone that shouldn't die. But the whole point of the first movie was so her sister wouldn't die.
Yeah. I hope she had a wonderful life over the last year or two. Because that's really what Katniss was able to achieve, just extend it by a little bit. Because she ends up getting killed by Coin anyway.
Yeah.
So here the film takes a bit of a strange turn, I guess. You know, this led up to this confrontation with Snow. We don't get that. We don't get to see the storming of the estate. And then it's very weird. Katniss doesn't seem to be in an urgency to ask questions. She's just sort of in like a hospital or something, and then she's in a building and she just wanders round and
probably a bit of shock. Like, it's been quite eventful the last couple of the movies.
Yeah, it was just a bit annoying as like a viewer. Like, why is no one asking the questions that I am asking right now? And so then we see Gale, and she's like, Gale, did we do this? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, and Katniss is like, ooh, that's plus 1 point for Peter.
Yeah, and then she's like, she just says goodbye, and you know, it's the last time she's ever going to see Gale.
Yeah. Peter tried to murder me, but he didn't succeed, and it was sort of because he was brainwashed. Whereas you may have been involved in this thing where we bombed our own people and my sister died. That's probably a win for Peter, I'd say.
Yeah. A game over. Gale's definitely out. Like, to the sheds, Gale. To the dugout. Wherever they go when you're out. She goes and visits the snowman. She visits the snowman. In a house, a greenhouse, with all his, so he's sitting there with his white roses.
Yeah. And, we don't really get the satisfaction of the war we've been fighting against Snow for all this time. It becomes like, oh, well, yep, look, I'll admit I was, a bad guy, but, you know, I had my reasons, you know. Tried to do it for the best of everyone overall, even though, look, probably I'm a bit evil. Didn't have to do some of the stuff I did. But look, I'm finished. There's no point in being angry at me now. I'm done for. You need to look out for Coin. Coin's going to be even worse than me.
Yeah, he's almost like, he was very interesting because he said, he goes, look, I was a bad guy. I did horrible things. I killed people. But I never killed people and I didn't have a reason. And I never lied to you after I made that promise not to lie to you. I was honest with you about everything from that point on. Coin, she killed people and she didn't need to. And she has been dishonest to you about her motives and her ambitions. And part of me thought, yeah, got a bit of respect for Snow now. And I feel like part of him was going, like, to Katniss, look, I don't mind that you beat me, but I want you to be consistent.
Yeah, so an interesting turn for Snow, and which brings, I guess, raises the suspicion on Coin. And Coin calls together this, what is it, round table of the Hunger Games survivors.
She's made herself interim president.
I loved how Hamish seemed surprised at the fact that he called herself interim. He wasn't upset that she'd declared herself president. He's like, interim? But for how long? You're like, wait. So I would probably lead with the fact that she declared herself as president, as opposed to the particulars of the interimness of it.
I think what Hamish was getting at with that was more the whole reason they fought was to have free elections. And I think he was a little cynical as to the sincerity of the term interim.
Well, like, sort of proved by the fact that she was like, we'll get to those when the people are ready.
Yeah, I think he was trying to highlight that maybe, yeah, we get your president, but are you really thinking you're going to be an interim president? Or are you just wanting to be president forever?
So what she poses is as a way, I guess, to teach people a lesson, the bad guys a lesson for their tyrannical rule and making the poor districts engage in these Hunger Games. And so as we can learn from those lessons of the past and move forward into the future, a different and better future, we'll hold another Hunger Games with the sons and daughters of their children.
This is just huge red flags. Like, if you didn't have any doubts about Queen's motives before now, it's pretty much she is just Snow 2.0. For sure. How bizarre. Are you sitting there at any point, Jonathan, going, maybe there's going to be another Hunger Games film?
Well, at the same time as I have said that, you know, the Hunger Games, how many times can they just do a Hunger Games and the same film be interesting? I probably preferred the second film, even though it was a second Hunger Games, to the third film without a Hunger Games. So if they did do a Hunger Games, I think, you know what, they've done 22 seasons of Survivor or whatever it is, because the system works. I enjoyed the Hunger Games, so, you know, I'd probably be down for another one.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe Katniss steps in for someone else or something. You know. Yeah. So there's the vote whether they should let it happen or not.
And that was kind of interesting because I don't think any of them knew about it beforehand. Some vote for it, maybe just because they're bloodthirsty. Some vote against it because it's the right thing to do. Haymitch and Katniss vote for it. But they didn't seem to discuss that that was any sort of plan. You know, did Haymitch actually just think that that was a good idea? Or did he just look at Katniss and go, let's vote for this, and then somehow use it against Coin?
I think Katniss figured out a way to use it against Coin, as we'll get into in a few seconds. And I think Haymitch just goes, look, Katniss has earned the right to make this call. I'm just going to go with her, and hopefully that's the right decision. But I think Haymitch has completely trusted Katniss about what was the right thing to do. Maybe he thought in three movies she has always known the right thing to do, and I'm just going to go with her rather than... Because he was waiting for her to make a vote before he voted.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So that was makes... really... Yeah.
He took the Remy approach, just... I'm going to put I'm going to put my chips behind Katniss.
Yeah.
So they have this big ceremony where they're going to execute Snow.
Katniss's one condition for a yes vote was that she would get to execute Snow.
Yeah.
So she negotiated.
And everyone's gathered round. It's a big spectacle. You know, this is how we're going to move on from the barbaric ruling of the past by executing the previous ruler publicly. And Katniss draws back her famous bow and arrow, lines it up on Snow. There's no way she could miss. Unless Snow wasn't the target. She lifts up. Shoots coin in the chest.
Damn.
Wasn't surprised, to be honest.
No, I was as soon as she said, I'm the one who gets to kill Snow, I was pretty confident where this was going.
Doesn't save Snow. Snow still gets mobbed by a fairly angry crowd, but Katniss...
He loved it, though. He was pleased. He seemed like... He was the happiest we've seen more movie.
He was like, yes. And that nice black lady from District 8, I believe, that we got to see, like, twice, she gets voted in as the new whatever. So that's good. She gave a nice speech. She seems like she'll be a good president, or whatever the title is. And I guess, you know, that's it. We can assume that hopefully things are now run freely and democratically. Snow's gone, coin's gone, and Katniss just has to move on. So where does she go but back home?
Yes.
She runs into the cat.
Angry at the cat. I think she's more just angry at her sister dying and just wanted to take it out on the cat.
Yeah. Cat stayed, though. That was a loyal cat. Yeah. Katniss was throwing things, and the cat's just like, look, I know you're throwing things, but I know you just need a hug.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, as well as a cat, she also runs into Peter. He seems to be a little less crazy now. He seems to be less intent on murdering Katniss.
Mm. And did he say something like, oh, I had to make sure the garden's looked after or whatever?
Yeah,
look. Like, gardening. I think he was more just coming back because he wanted to see her.
I've been growing flowers. Primrose. What's more romantic than growing flowers named after your dead sister?
Mm.
Sweet? Sweet? Question mark?
Yeah.
And
then... when she joins him in bed one evening, I guess she's realised that she loves him. And then they have some babies.
So, yes, he had been confused as to what was real or not real because of the brainwashing. He'd say, you know, did this really happen, real or not real? And she'd say, real. And then he said, do you love me, real or not real? She says, real. And it's like, oh, Peter. And, skip forward a few years. All of a sudden, Katniss is dressed like a 1950s housewife, playing with her child, watching Peter play with their other child, and it's all smiles and primroses.
And then she say to, like, the baby, I'm trying to remember now, she say to the baby, one day I've got quite the story for you.
I'll tell them over three parts and then split the third one into two separate parts just to really build up tension for the final part of this story I'll tell you one day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Now, I've got one or two questions about the movie.
Sure.
One. Should Katniss have ended up president? I think she may have made a good president. I know she didn't want to be leader, but I wonder if that's a sign of a good leader in this environment. Because everyone who wanted to be leaders didn't end up being good leaders.
It's a good question. I think Katniss would do a good job, but it seemed like this other lady from District 8 would do a good job. So at least there was a good alternative. And I guess, you know, Katniss has been through so much at the very start. It seemed like she liked being out in nature, just enjoying the trees, hunting, living off the land. And so, you know, maybe that was what would make Katniss happiest, to return to that lifestyle.
Because I know that because of killing Coin, like, there was sort of an issue with her sort of staying in the capital. But don't you reckon with all the, like, goodwill, like, that Katniss had built up with the Hunger Games? Like, it seemed like people loved Katniss, and people were probably more credulous to her than Coin. Couldn't she have said, I found out Coin was the one who blew up all the refugees. She was working alone. So I took matters into my own hands. Wouldn't everyone have got, like, believed Katniss? Especially if they got, like, a Philip Seymour Hoffman backing her up.
I feel like, I just assumed that that was explained, you know.
Yeah.
Hey Mitch, you're Philip Seymour Hoffman, or the new president somehow explained that, and...
Yeah, I would hope so. You said you preferred the second movie because it was more of a Hunger Games, the second movie was less of a Hunger Games. Did you think this was a... You don't say if you liked it more or not, we'll give it the verdict in a minute, but do you feel like there was a lot of talk this, because they had game masters running the games, running the sort of like setting those booby traps that are sort of like, the games are back on. Welcome to the 76th Hunger Games. And did you feel this was a more Hunger Games?
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't as specifically a Hunger Games, but there was, yeah, the game masters or game runners setting the booby traps, releasing the mutts. So there's a lot more action. The third film, very talky, very moody. Nothing really was accomplished. It wasn't that satisfying. Whereas the fourth film, good action, things were accomplished. Definitely took some of the good aspects of a Hunger Games film.
How bizarre is that? Like, can you imagine us being in war, like World War III breaks out or something in a year's time, and we call on our reality TV show producers to manage the war?
Well, that's the home field advantage for you. That'll be an interesting game. It's like you send people to that country, and then you send people to our country, and then how we fight is whoever can get through the other one's, you know, Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's like President Trump or Clinton or whoever becomes president next year calls up Mark Burnett from Survivor and goes, hey, we're at war with ISIS. You're really good at coming up with twists. Like, think of a few things that'll catch them off guard and a few interesting, like, devices that we can use. My last question is, how do you reckon they dealt with Philip Seymour Hoffman's sort of death and presence in the film? And how do you feel about Stanley Tucci's smallest role yet in The Hunger Games?
Yeah, so Stanley Tucci, I loved him in some of the earlier films. I thought he was so entertaining. He only had one short clip where he was declaring that Katniss was dead, when not only did we know Katniss wasn't dead because we can see her watching the same clip as us, but also the clip clearly didn't show that Katniss was dead. So he was probably involved in, you know, one of the silliest little aspects of the plot in the film. So, yeah, Stanley Tucci underutilized, you know. I guess his main thing was as a TV personality, and seeing as we weren't following the TV show of The Hunger Games, it made sense that he wasn't in it as much, but I still missed him because he was very entertaining. Philip Seymour Hoffman, I guess, did he pass away during the filming of the Mockingjay Part 2?
I think the week or two after he passed away, he was meant to go and wrap up filming for it.
Because here is what it looked like to me during the film. That all the scenes that he was in, you know, throughout the first three quarters of the film, that was all just filmed before he passed away. Mm. He didn't have anything cut out. It seemed like maybe at the end, the final scene, where he watches Katniss shoot coin, it looked like maybe they took footage of him watching and smiling at something else and then just, you know, put in, you know, a green screen of him in the big grandstand where the execution was happening.
Yeah, that's how I saw it.
Which I thought they did well. I mean, you know, it was good to bring him back because it would have been a bit odd if he'd have just dropped out of the film completely. But it wasn't so obvious that it was fake or whatever. It was, you know, it was sort of just enough for it to make sense.
And I wouldn't be surprised if in the book, like, Hamish comes and reads a letter from Phil Seymour to her. I wouldn't be surprised if in the books maybe he goes and tells her that. They explained it well. They explained it well.
Yeah, it worked. And stuff. I thought they dealt with it well.
And I wonder if there may have been a few other scenes with him that they just didn't need. Like, you know, if there was some more stuff with Julia Moore and him that may have been in the film, because it seemed like there wasn't heaps of cutting back to her. Not as much as there was maybe in the, you know, the Hunger Games films when he cut to Philip Seymour Hoffman with the Game Master. Oh, sorry, Donald Sutherland with the Game Masters and things like that.
Yeah.
I agree. Tucci, underused. They should have figured out a way to sort of wrap up his sort of arc better than how they did. But so we're ready to give it a verdict.
All right. Hunger Games. Mockingjay Part 2, the finale. I thought I liked what was on the line. I thought, okay, we've got through all the setup in Part 1. Let's get to the good stuff. And I thought the first hour was pretty good. You know, Katniss is just, you know, an engaging character. You're always rooting for her. You're always wondering what she's going to do next. You know she's not going to follow instructions. She's going to go rogue, and we like that about her. I thought once they started doing the propaganda videos and they were trying to navigate the pods, that was really exciting. When things go wrong with the oil going down into the tunnel, that was really dramatic. Great action scenes. Loved that. Some of the, you know, as exciting as any of the stuff we've seen in the actual Hunger Games in the first two films. Then, you know, they march on the Capitol. I'm so pumped for it. And then I feel like that got stolen. And I guess you can say it was a twist. And sometimes the twist was good. But I felt the direction that it then went in the last 30 minutes, while less predictable, was maybe a little bit less satisfying. And the quick turn of coin, of turn actually being, coin actually being a bad person, was like, yeah, I get it, but I'm not really super invested in getting coin, because you only just told me that coin was a bad person 20 minutes ago, not four movies ago, like we've had with Snow. But it made sense. I guess it worked in a way. It worked enough. And Peter, I was on Team Peter, so I was glad to see, you know, I mean, the film sort of spoiled it for us by not showing us that much of Gale. So it made you think, surely she ends up with Peter, because I've invested so much more time into Peter. I don't really care about Gale, even though I'm sure he's actually a good dude. And I thought, you know, the you do love me, real or not real, real. I thought that was really sweet. I really liked that. And, you know, I think it ended well. Overall, I think it was one of the stronger Hunger Games films. I am going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Very nice. I liked the coin being the villain. I thought that I was getting a bit maybe tired of Donald Sutherland sort of like in that role, and I thought it was really cool that actually the person leading the resistance was just as bad. I actually quite liked that as a direction. I think they flagged it. I feel like last podcast when we talked about it, I was just so frustrated at things Julianne Moore or Coin was telling Katniss to do. But it sort of made a lot of sense to me. Oh, she hasn't really been on the same page as Katniss. That makes more sense now. Like, so I actually quite liked that. I felt the end, though, was still, as you said, a bit unsatisfying. I thought it was a bit of a very quick turn to Donald's. I don't mind the turn of Coin as much as I didn't like. I don't know if it properly explained how Donald Sutherland or how Snow got in such a tough position, like how he was weakened so quickly. So there are a few little storytelling things like that that I thought could have been done better. But I really liked this movie. I loved how it was sort of like another Hunger Games, but it was now everyone was a player in the Hunger Games. Like, no one was safe from the Hunger Games. It wasn't just 12 or 24 people selected and sent to a thing. It's like now it's the capital city of, like, of this place is now the stage that the Hunger Games is getting played, and no one is safe. I really liked that. I thought it was really cool. I love this performance. I think Jennifer Lawrence grounds these films so well. Like, to have such a good actress at the center of this, I think really sets these movies apart from your Harry Potters, your Twilights, your other sort of these series films that seem like they sometimes just get a bit milked for all they're worth and stuff. To such a good actress grounding them, I really like. And yeah, I could nitpick things, and I have throughout the course of this podcast. It's far from a perfect movie, but I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I really look forward to seeing the Hunger Games every year. I've really appreciated that as a series, much more so than a lot of other series that are, even The Hobbit, like, you know, didn't even end up finishing The Hobbit. Yeah.
Yes, definitely a superior series to the Hobbit. And I started out skeptical of the Hunger Games and was sort of mixed on the first film, but really brought me around with the films number 2 and 4. So, good job.
Even number Hunger Games films are Jonathan's favourites. It's like the Giants.
The San Francisco Giants love those even numbers. Alrighty, so it's been a long podcast.
Yes,
we'll wrap up quickly. Any housekeeping stories maybe for the next podcast, but we definitely have some podcasts coming up soon. We'll could be doing Spectre, could be doing the new Netflix show from Aziz Ansari, Master of None. So some fun podcasts to look forward to.
And who knows, maybe a Walking Dead type
podcast. <see. laughs> We'll bring that back from the dead. Alrighty, so stay tuned for that, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.